aboard, you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlancisau for another day. Broadcast insulin.
Yes.
How about that?
How about it? I can't wait to hear about the blue moon. We're going to talk about that.
Tom's coming up in just a few minutes, and we're gonna Super Blood Blue Moon.
Is that what it's called? Super
Super Blue Blood.
Blue Blood.
Super Blood Snow Moon is what it's called.
Snow Moon.
Is that right? Do we have that right?
I think that's a new show.
Yeah, I don't think
about
it's
vampires.
Snow. I think it's a red. It looks red in the pictures of the
Super Blue
ones
Blood
showing.
Red. Werewolf moon.
Okay. You know what? Tom will explain. This is the best tease ever for a segment coming up in a few minutes with Tom Skilling. Tom, just name the name of the... Wait to hear
right.
Tom after the quarter of the hour. Or as DJ Man would say, coming up in five. Tom will explain to us what the name of this moon is and why we should be so interested in it.
And will we be able to see it? Where do we go to see it?
Well, he just said there might be some issues.
Mm-hmm,
I don't know.
Super Blue Blood Moon.
Yeah.
Because it's blood because of the red.
But my script here, because you know we do everything off of a script, says Super Blue Blood Snow Moon.
I think you should rip up the script and throw it up in the air like a crazy man.
All right, hold on. Hold on. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, do like a is it David
just get
Letterman?
We'll do it live.
Yep. Damn it! I can't come out. Of an intro into a Super Blood Blue Moon. Get Don on the phone.
Call your agent. I mean, this is ridiculous. What kind of programming is this?
All right, also on the program today, CC Sunshine is going to be here. This is very interesting. Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway, which is Warren Buffett's company, which is a holding company for all kinds of other businesses that you don't realize. They own a piece of basically every other business in the world.
Seriously. And J.P. Morgan Chase is in there, too.
Right. And J.P. Morgan Chase are getting together. Amazon, Berkshire, and J.P. Morgan Chase are getting together to disrupt healthcare. Screw this. We're waiting on the government to do something, or you're waiting on the insurance industry as it exists to do things, and they just don't want to do it the right way. These guys are going to do it the right way. Now, interestingly enough, Warren Buffett has been involved in reinsurance for decades. Mm-hmm. Reinsurance is the insurance companies that insure the insurance companies.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been involved in Geico, and he's also involved in reinsurance companies. And so he's got a lot of exposure to this marketplace already. And Chase obviously finances a lot of this. And then what's interesting to me is why Amazon, and there is a fascinating answer as to why Amazon is a part of this. It's coming your way at 3:40.
Well, these are three bright billionaires who run these companies, or certainly close with J.P. Morgan and Jamie Dimon. And you wonder, if they get these minds together, what they're going to create and how it will disrupt the whole world of healthcare. You saw healthcare stocks be part of the leaders in that plummet today, or that dip in the market.
No, God, don't say plummet.
Plummet's bad. It's a dip. And, you know, as far high up as this has been climbing and as fast as it has, this seems like it might be welcome to have a slight correction. But I know we're going to talk to Susan Schmidt.
That isn't even close to a correction, because it's only down a couple hundred points off of the high over 26,000.
But it's trending that way or not, you know, you wonder, 2 days in a row of triple point declines for the Dow. Is it sort of leading in that way of being a correction or not?
Okay, we'll find out from her. That's an excellent point. By the way, best stock market ever. Don't pay attention. Fake news. It was going down.
Yeah.
The State of the Union is me. That's what I expect him to say tonight.
Some are calling it the greatest State of the Union address of all time.
By the way, people are saying that I've done a great job with this. I'm doing a really good, as good a job, maybe as great a job, as Frederick Douglass is currently doing as well.
It's kind of his heaven, though, because there's a loud applause basically after everything the president says. Mm-hmm. So he's just going to have constant feedback and positive feedback from everybody in the room.
And
just
some of
constant
the people,
applause.
We'll see what kind of kiss-ass congressmen are in that room, because there will be. Because there are people who are absolutely kissing keister like I've never seen before of the president, who know they shouldn't be doing this. They know this is not going to end well, but yet they are doing it. And you are so right. You know, they'll all do the full Mike Pence. You are so right, sir. You are brilliant. You are thin. You have great hair.
Huge hands. Don't forget the hands.
He's got gigantic hands, and you have a golf swing. You hit the ball at, on average, 380 yards right down the pipe. Sir, you are the best ever. I mean, you're going to have people just applauding anything.
Right.
Well, and you also have some of the people who really don't stand for anything this president stands for who are not going to be there because they're boycotting.
Well, that's bull poop, too. That shouldn't be happening. If you are in Congress, it is an honor to be in Congress. It is an honor to be a representative of the United States of America, and you should be at the State of the Union. And even you go, well, my supporters said I shouldn't. Really? My constituents have all said, they all called you.
You go there and you sit there even if you don't like it.
Right.
Pretend you like it. No, right. You don't even have to do
no,
that.
No, just
you don't
sit
even
there
have to do
you don't and
have
listen.
To, you don't have to like jump up and down. The only Now, Ruth Bader Ginsburg isn't going to be there.
She's not. She has a prior commitment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's hanging
she
out.
Does.
She's hanging out with me tonight. In my basement.
She's your girl. You're going to plan your escape to New Zealand.
Yeah, we're going to cuddle up together. You know, mm-hmm. Spoon.
Sweet.
And then and watch this thing.
The notorious RBG, mm-hmm. Three Illinois congressmen among the people who will be boycotting: Danny Davis, Bobby Rush, Jan Schakowsky.
Okay, see, go to it.
You can use the Snuggie tonight, Ro.
I am going to. Well, I got her own Snuggie.
Oh, that's cute.
And she and I are going to, you know, we're going to spoon. And then you got to be very careful when you spoon with her because she's got that bad hip.
Yeah. Don't roll over.
Yeah. See something
she's
snap
tiny.
Right there.
You
yeah.
could probably share one.
I feel like she would want to be the big spoon. Even
and
though
no,
she's
I didn't
little.
Know she's
no,
a little spoon. No, she's
little.
Oh, she's so
what
cute.
What a fragile
spoon.
Little spoon.
Yeah, it's a fragile little spoon.
Like an infant spoon. Last time can't I, really touch it, hold
right.
Up.
Last time I did it, her femur turned to dust. It was a problem.
Don't touch her in the wrong way.
Yeah, no,
she'll
no.
she'll tell you.
Yeah, I
bet
know
she will.
I know,
that's
but anyway,
what we
that,
know her for.
That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna drink. We're gonna sip
popcorn
tea. And, but no, she's gonna. No, it's bad for her digestion.
Oh,
that's,
oh what
gives
do you
her
do
gas.
Then? Like soft foods.
I mean, you don't want somebody with the spooning and the gas. That's right. A bad thing.
Mm. Bad combo, mm. Especially with the Snuggie, it gets trapped.
All right, Tom Skilling gonna join us, but first, Judy, what's happening at the bottom of the hour? Well, mm-hmm. What I also see is the super blue blood snow moon rising tomorrow.
Sure, that's what it's called.
That's what I have on my, as I said, on my script, and I don't know what that means. All right, so explain this to us, Tom Skilling.
Well, we're combining three. It's kind of like a trifecta here, astronomically. We're
okay.
Putting a super moon, which is where the orbit of the moon brings it close to the Earth, so it's about 14% brighter. We're combining that with a blue moon, which tomorrow's full moon will be. Mm-hmm. It's the second full moon of the month.
Okay, so that's what a blue moon means.
Right, and it's a partial lunar eclipse. It'll be a full lunar eclipse out in western North America and Alaska and Hawaii, but here we'll see a partial eclipse. And it starts at 4:51 tomorrow morning, peaks somewhere between 6:15 and 6:30. That's when the blood red color will appear. And it all ends when the moon sets at 7:05 in the morning. So that period from 4:51 tomorrow to 7:05 is the period we're watching weather-wise. And the best indications we get now are that about 68% of the sky will be covered. That's the forecast, average cloud coverage forecast from a whole series of models that put together. So that's a little dicey, but it's not impossible.
So we're going to see the moon turn red.
Yes.
But in Hawaii, they're going to see it disappear because it's an eclipse?
It is a full lunar eclipse, yes.
So they'll see it just go black?
Yes.
And not come back?
Okay. Well, it will come back. If it doesn't, we're all in big trouble.
Wait, so with the cloud cover you're describing, though, Tom, is it worth us getting up at 4:50 in the morning and taking a look-see, or is it just really not?
You know what? There'll be breaks in the clouds. I was looking last night as I drove home because I thought, you know, this is about the extent of the coverage. It's always a tough call, but figure 68%, that leaves about, what, 32% of the sky uncovered, and, you know, you can vary a little bit around that 68% coverage. So that means it's not an impossibility, and it might be worth at least getting up and checking it out, you know, because this hasn't happened for 150 years, and it won't happen again until 2048, 30 years from now. So
30 years old, I'm doing the math. Oh, I won't be here. All right.
You know, I did the same thing.
Yeah, I might want to get up there.
You're like, all right, this is worth getting up for.
Yeah.
We just decided.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if we're still around in 2048, we're doing okay, you know.
So I should, okay, so The my other option here is to learn how to fly, buy a plane, and get up there in the middle of the night too.
And you can watch there. There'll be live feeds. NASA is going to have a live feed
of
the thing.
That's no fun. I can do that all day long.
Well, you know, I mean, it's you were looking at alternatives, so yeah, I was trying to be helpful.
Thank you.
So you can set your alarm and then get, you know, just go on to NASA.
Yeah, or else you know, record it
or DVR and watch it like anything else.
That's the same. That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of is because it's. I know it's like a live event, like sports and news are live events, but you know, I could, you know what I could do? I could watch it, I could record it, and then I could speed through it to move through it, you know, quick. I could
right.
through the commercials.
And it's a wild, far out guess here, but my guess is that it will be played rather numerous on numerous occasions throughout newscasts throughout the day tomorrow.
There's nothing like seeing it live. There really isn't. And
that's true.
NASA.gov site, that, you know, I used that for the eclipse last time because our viewing was so poor here.
Yes.
That it was great. It was
By the way, is that still up? I need that down.
We yank the funding for
that. Well, as long as they don't mention climate change on it, they'll leave it up. You know, but if that's mentioned, then they take it down, you know.
No, we're turning it in to Ivanka Shopping Club channel.
Yeah. Yeah, is that what it is?
Buying all of her jewelry on the NASA.gov.
I see.
Moon rocks. They're not from the moon, but that's all right.
Well, I.
Oh, God.
Nice to hear the channel's not going away anyway.
Yeah, well, we like the real estate. It's very important to have the real estate. I just don't have. I don't have the desire to watch the moon on television. I want to see the moon as the real moon. Now, you know, the nice thing, I've been staring at the sky. I meant to mention this to you yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So as I've been, you know, traveling for the last couple of weeks.
And I hope while you've been driving, you haven't been doing that.
No, I've stopped.
You look at the road at that point.
I saw the Southern Cross for the first time.
Oh, cool.
Because you can't see it in the Northern Hemisphere.
Right. That's the Northern, Southern Hemispheric rendition of... the Northern Lights up here,
right? Or the it's more like the what do you call it? It's another not Andromeda, but I'll get to it in a second. It'll come to me.
Aurora Borealis.
Yeah, no,
it's the,
Orion's Belt. It's the you can't see both the Southern Cross and Orion Orion's Belt at the same time because they're on opposite sides of the Earth. So I saw the Southern Cross, and I want to just tell you one thing: it's completely unimpressive. Orion's Belt much better. Then the Southern Cross. Southern Cross, turns out it's just two stars, and you're like, I've been waiting my whole life to see this.
While you were watching
stars?
This, did you hear Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young singing about it in your head?
I was like, and it was because the Southern Cross, the whole idea is that they're sailing, and they get to see the Southern Cross because they get near the equator.
Yes.
And I'm like, I don't think this is so damn good.
Yeah, but, Ro, you could go back to the room and watch the water go down the sink, you know, clockwise.
I did that.
There was all kinds of excitement, you know, options there.
Seeing things from a different perspective, entirely different perspective.
And besides, looking at that waterfall you showed us, I think that would be almost enough right there. You know?
So if the blue moon is the second full moon of the month, how do we get that phrase, once in a blue moon? I mean, you would think that it would be a phenomenon that would not happen so regularly.
Oh, gosh.
Right? It doesn't seem strange?
And there's two of those a year, I'm assuming.
It's interesting.
Right?
And I've researched this, and I should have the answer, and it escapes me at the moment. Okay. It's a perfectly great question, Anna. I should have looked that up.
Well, there's got to be at least one a year,
we'll
and maybe two, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So it just seems strange.
Yeah. I mean, twice a year is not that often.
I think it's like a paycheck. You know, those days, those months, you get three paychecks in a month?
Yes.
Oh, those are the best, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Yes.
So I think that's what a blue moon...
Once in a three-paycheck month.
Right. That's a three-paycheck month is basically a blue moon month, I would assume.
Yes.
Is it this month? Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. So So there you go. That's how you got to look at it.
very rare occurrence. So it's very... I'm going to get up and see it. I'm going to set my alarm.
Good
and I'm going to go
you,
on NASA.gov. I will.
All right.
I'm going to do that.
I'll tell you, watching that full solar eclipse, and the nice thing is you don't need glasses for this, you know, unlike a solar eclipse.
See, you had that experience. You had a life changer this year.
Oh,
in
the
last
calendar. And you know what's interesting? This is why, I'm a little hesitant to say you definitely will or won't see it. Had we been in Carbondale for that thing, just 14 miles from the campground where we ended up setting up our satellite trucks and all, we wouldn't have seen it. Down at the SIU Stadium, a little cloud...
popped up in the middle of it?
Yeah, went right across, right as the solar eclipse was going on. And so a good part of that whole thing was missed. And yet 14 miles away, we had a beautiful, unobstructed view of the whole thing with a couple little clouds. But we managed to keep the holes...
right where the sun was, where we were. So it's always a little dicey.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope tomorrow it's all right. And Anna, I think you're great for getting up to see it.
Well, I remember how emotional you were when you saw what you saw.
I did.
And I think it's us all excited about
these celestial
happenings.
Why don't you put that on YouTube?
I want you
to record yourself and put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's got to be out there already, isn't it, Tom? Could people see that?
Oh, I'm
no,
sure.
You. I'm saying you. Tomorrow, you should wake up and watch.
No, not 4:50 in the morning.
Watch from your bed the TV, and then you can get emotional between your toes is basically what you can do.
Now, here's a better idea. We could get Ro up to videotape it for us, and then he could put it on his Facebook page.
I got that thing.
He doesn't know how to operate Facebook.
He's got a thing? No. What is the thing?
I got that thing tomorrow. I have a previous commitment.
I see.
At 4:00 in the morning.
4:50 what in the morning? Kevin, does that sound reasonable to you?
I can manage.
Yeah, there he goes. Yeah, see, Kevin's always got my back in a situation like that. Yeah.
Anna and I are we question the whole proposition.
I really do.
Yeah.
I do.
I gotta run. But you have done the right thing.
Got a thing coming up.
I got
here,
this
I'm
thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, I got Judy's news, and trust me, she makes that a thing.
That's a big thing. You don't want to lose that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's exactly right. All right.
You don't want Judy mad at us.
No, which is basically an hourly occurrence for me. So here we go. Judy's news coming your way in 2 minutes. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here, 720 WGN. All right, here is the congressman of the Illinois District of Rowanana.
Yes.
He is Congressman Andrew Kinzinger.
He answers only to us.
I got a couple questions for you before we get started here. I know you're heading to the State of the Union, and you want to get a good seat. And I want to talk about that process of what it takes to get a good seat at the state, what qualifies as, and how do you get a good seat at the State of the Union. But I got to ask you about this the story that has been developing throughout the day. Because I know you've had some thoughts on this over the last year. The Russian sanctions were passed again. They kicked the can down the road on the Russian sanctions over at the White House today. And Steve Mnuchin was up on the Hill testifying today in front of a committee. They have identified some of the people that are oligarchs close to Putin, but they have not sanctioned anybody. What do you make of that?
It's hard for me to tell. I don't want to jump to conclusions on anything. I think, it's clear these need to be implemented. This is the will of the people of the United States, passed overwhelmingly in Congress. The Senate was even signed by the president. We want to make sure they're done right. But I don't really have an opinion what to make of them, except to say that we definitely have some questions. But, this is, I assume they were going to get done and taken care of. And especially given, CIA Director Pompeo's statements that, he has no doubt that Russia is going to continue to interfere in 2018 elections. And frankly, nobody listening should have any doubt because, their goal is to stir disruption in a democracy. And so I think it's important for us to say we're not going to take this sitting down. And it doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat, because, if they targeted Democrats, they'll target Republicans next time. They're kind of atheist on that.
Right. You saw Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer also wrote competing op-eds today regarding what they expect in the State of the Union, particularly in regards to infrastructure. And the president's the White House says that will be addressed today. Surprisingly, still seems very far apart on this issue, Democrats and Republicans, that the president's infrastructure proposal will be light on federal funding and require local municipalities and state governments to make up the piece of that. Where do you think where do you sit on where we should go with that, and what do you think will be said tonight? What will the president offer?
Well, I think I like the idea of leveraging public-private partnerships. They've become more popular and actually more successful over the last decade, maybe two decades. So I want to hear definitely what he has to say on that. But I do think it's clear that the federal government plays a very important role on infrastructure. All you have to do is read the Constitution, where it says, the role of Congress is post offices and post roads. Is a clear, indication of infrastructure. So I think the devil will be in the details tonight. I've just heard kind of some top line stuff on it. But it's an opportunity for us to work together. It's a very divided time, so I don't want to pretend like I'm overly optimistic that this is just going to come out all rainbows and unicorns. But, at the same time, it's worth exploring. And I think at least if we can begin the conversation to say, this is, the cost of infrastructure, it's deteriorating. have some grown-up discussions about how we're going to pay for it and who's going to pay for it. Because really, I mean, I think as a fiscal conservative, the worst thing we do is we put it into debt, or we make our kids fix the roads at a much higher cost than what we'd have to pay for today.
I mean, and I know that you are and you have been throughout your career as a congressman, as a politician, an economic conservative, a true economic conservative, social conservative too, but with a heart, which I've always appreciated. But this is, at some point, Republicans like you are going to have to step up and go, hey, wait a second, because you're spending money like there's no tomorrow. There's no way. I'm going to just tell you that the Republicans in Congress and the House of Representatives, there is no way if a Democrat had proposed the budget that the exact budget that you guys jumped up and down and applauded and got all excited about, if a Democrat had proposed that, there's no way that would have passed.
Well, which budget? I mean, the House budget was, that balanced in 10 years. That's
what you guys passed. The tax budget.
Oh, the tax bill. Yeah.
Yeah, the tax bill. I'm sorry, I said budget. I meant bill. The tax bill. There is just no way. I mean, this idea of fiscal conservatism has been erased by Donald Trump because he's all pinning it on growth, which is what Democrats were misleading America on for years.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I'll tell you, if the Democrats would have proposed this tax plan, I would have supported it. But and I think we're seeing in the economy right now some big benefits, and we'll see. The CBO is going to adjust the baseline revenue number.
I'm just talking about what I'm saying is that no one's concerned about deficits here on your side.
Oh, I think we are. Absolutely.
Well, where's the proof of that?
You still have very strict fiscal discipline when it comes to the Pentagon, when it comes to the non-defense side of the ledger. Look, the reality is, and it's something that nobody's had the courage to talk about, I talk about it all the time, but is the idea of, they bristle when you say the word entitlements, but it's called, the official word is entitlement spending. It's autopilot spending. It's things like Medicare, Social Security, Medicaid, interest on the debt, the stuff that Congress doesn't actually appropriate. We only appropriate about 25% of what the federal government spends. And so we haven't had the courage to have a conversation. So look, I'm 39 years old. Look, if you have to make some adjustments to Social Security for me to save it for my parents, I'm willing to make that sacrifice. But instead in D.C., we've sat around and pretended like this isn't a problem, and both sides have just jumped on an opportunity to attack the other side that even makes a suggestion about fixing it. That's where the real deficit and debt is driven at, and that's what we're going to have to really get a grip on.
All right, let's see. Let's see if
we politicize that.
All right, well, I'm glad. Thank you for bringing that up. Let's see who picks up the ball on that. Because it seems to me that this whole idea of fiscal responsibility, I mean, when we're talking about, and I know that this is very highly political, the wall, but you're talking about $25 billion. You don't need $25 billion to build a wall. He's even said, the president himself said, I could do it for less. Well, then do it for less. And by the way, where are the Mexicans? But that's a separate issue. I knew they weren't going to pay for it in the first place. I knew he was making that up on the campaign trail. But now, what's he going to do? And what do you really need? And how much do you really need to spend? But to go and he's playing the game that Democrats played for years and years and years. I need $25 billion for toilet paper for the Pentagon, right? And no one is stopped. I mean, the thing is, it seems to me, and this is what's kind of scary sitting out here. Not, you know, just watching what's going on and knowing that it's going to affect my life and I've got zero control over it, is I do see some things that scare me. The Russian lack of sanctions, the spending, the misrepresentation by the White House on so many different things, and nobody on your side of the aisle is stepping up, raising their hand and going, yeah, this isn't exactly right. Or let's say decreasing numbers of people are standing up and saying this isn't right.
I would say it depends on what issue you're talking about. I mean, on the Russia thing, a lot of us have been very clear that we think Russia is a huge issue, that there needs to be sanctions. We voted in an overwhelming way for them. When it comes to the tax issue and the deficit, that's just a political disagree or an economic disagreement where I think if you give more people their money back and you allow them to go out and spend it and you see bonuses that go out from companies and, you know, to some of us, $2,000 a year may not seem like a lot, but to some people it's the difference between being able to make if you have your car break or not, and being able to invest in college and that kind of stuff, really regenerating the economy and putting a shot in the arm and actually making us competitive on the international scene for the first time in a long time.
I agree.
I mean, you talk to any of your friends in other countries, and they'll say America's back, and that concerns them. That's a huge benefit to the economy.
Actually, that's not what they said to me, but that's a separate issue. They didn't say America's back. They said America is, but not back.
There wasn't back.
Yeah, and it was an and then there was another word.
Oh.
Here's the issue. That's when we can argue about this till we're blue in the face about what time will tell. This was a roll of the dice in terms of trying to throw the money back into the economy, put it back in the economy and have it go work for everybody, the economy, the individuals, and the government, and see how much we can make out of this, and try to draw all this investment back in, all this money back in the United States. I think in the short term, it's going to be a very good play. In the long term, the question is, how are we going, because you're going to have to make adjustments in the next 4, 6, 8 years to how the money is being spent here, because there's going to be a moment where it slows down, and you may have used your last ounce of gas on this, and that's so you need to be able to coast downhill, and that becomes the big question. All right, now I got to ask you about getting in tonight. You're going to you're on your way to the State of the Union. What's a good seat, and how do you get a good seat?
Well, it's an art form. How do you get a good seat? It's like dedication. So here's actually the pet peeve of being a member of the House. It's our floor, but the Senate has they come in arrogantly like 3 minutes before the thing starts. They have all their own seats. The diplomatic corps has its own seats.
Yeah.
Like everybody's got the people that have to fight for seats are the members of the House. It's our chamber. So, look, usually I go down an hour prior and you get kind of an okay seat. I might go down a little early this time and see if I can get a better one.
All right, we'll be watching for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's got the good beard going right now.
Oh,
the sort of he and I have competing beards.
It's beardjuary.
I like it. It looks good on both of you. So keep it going.
Here's something. And next time you're on Wolf's Beard, don't say that, or Wolf's Show. I should say. I'm sorry. I meant Show. All right. Thank you so much, Congressman Adam Kinzinger. Have fun tonight.
See ya.
All right. There he goes. All right. Right now, Judy's going to tell us what's coming in at the top of the hour on the news. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right. This story fascinated me when I saw it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
That the kids at Amazon and Berkshire Hathaway and JP Morgan, and it's just kids.
They're kind of smart kids.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Billionaires, extremely bright guys,
are going to put together a healthcare program. We're going to get to that in the next segment, I am told. Currently, because I'm not paying proper attention, A.B. Stoddard is here to tell us about the State of the Union.
Yes. Exclamation point.
Congressman Kinzinger on a few minutes ago give us his detailed explanation of how to get a good seat at the State of the Union.
He's got a plan.
And the key is to go early and try to get ahead of those SOBs in the Senate and in the diplomatic corps, because they're taking all the seats up.
All the good ones.
Yeah. How about that?
I think it's so interesting that you would think, because so many Democrats are boycotting, there would be more seating. Mm-hmm. But then the people who are coming are overdoing it on the statement-making guests. So a lot of people coming in to pack the House to represent the Me Too movement and the Dreamers and on and on and on. So
I'm surprised somebody did not pay
make up for the absent lawmakers.
Why did somebody not pay Stormy Daniels $260,000 to show up at this thing?
Isn't she going to be on the Jimmy Kimmel Show tonight? Isn't that part of the plan?
That's a Trumpian move right there. Remember when he did that? When he brought in Bill Clinton's accusers to a debate in front of Hillary?
Oh, that's
a move right there.
Out of his playbook.
You can't do anything too mean to him, because he's already done the meanest things he could possibly do to everybody else. So nobody's going to...
I know. So it's all like a question of sparing his wife.
Yeah.
Right. Right, exactly. And she seems, now she's going to actually a very interesting guest. This has been a tradition now for decades, where the first spouse has a some sort of a heartrending story about and a guest. Sometimes it's a military story. In this case, the child of an addict was taken in by a police officer, right?
Yeah. Albuquerque police officer.
Yeah.
And that's what's going to, and so you're going to have the Albuquerque police officer, and I believe also the mom who's now a recovering addict. that are going to be in the seat. So this is, and that's going to be kind of a nice thing. Are we, she had to show up for this, right? I know that there's a lot of speculation as to why she didn't go to Davos. But if she didn't show up for this, that would have really, that would have distracted everybody from the other insanity that's going on. Don't you agree?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that she, takes, you know, some pride in, she plays a limited role. She doesn't expand the role of First Lady, but she wasn't going to think out and let that be the topic. And I think she's, you know, I think she made the right decision to sort of show up and chin up and make it about these other people, give them an opportunity. It'll mean a lot to them, and she knows that because she knows that from the reception she gets at all the, you know, visitations and appointments that she has with people whenever she goes publicly or privately. She knows how well received it is and how appreciative people are. So it is a good moment for her. The awkward thing, obviously, is him having to, you know, acknowledge her. With everyone, you know, yammering on the cable news channels about Stormy Daniels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's tough.
Let's, yeah, that is, that it does you have know? To be tough for her. I mean, other than agreeing to date him for the first time, I can't really hold too much against her. Here's the story that is developing before our very eyes. According to sources inside the White House, CNN is reporting that the president would like to see this Republican-drafted memo released as soon as possible after the State of the Union. That seems like a little bit of a mistake. If he really nails it in the State of the Union, I think you're going to want to let that reverberate for 24 hours in a news cycle. But he wants that memo out, and it's possible that there will be pressure on Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General, to step down as a result of this. We're going to put pressure on him. And if he steps down, whomever the new DAG would become would be asked to fire Robert Mueller. You could have both those guys gone within by the weekend, potentially.
Yeah, this is interesting on several levels, because I think Republicans want to have their cake and eat it, too. As you saw the House Speaker today, he said, you know, there's could be these problems and civil liberties could have been violated, perhaps of Carter Page and other great Americans at the FBI in some kind of abuse of the FISA warrant system. We'll learn more about this when it is all revealed. But he also urged everyone to, you know, he still defended the integrity of the Mueller investigation and wanted to distinguish between, he wanted it to be kept separate, a separate conversation. And so, It really is an interesting, I mean, we know, because members and senators have said this specter of firing Mueller first rose in June publicly. Now we learn from the reporting last week from the New York Times that privately it was real. But since then, members have said, have sort of privately urged the president, do not fire Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Do not fire anyone, because we won't give you any new person. You cannot do this. Mm-hmm. And so it sort of calmed the waters over there on that subject, at least between the Hill and the White House. If this memo reveals that Rod Rosenstein absolutely did legitimately abuse the FISA warrant system and did something injurious and in violation to that, then his job is in trouble. But if he did not, if there are not real credible allegations that he did anything wrong by extending the application that I guess Mueller wanted for a warrant on Carter Page, then this thing looks a little bit weird, right? So we don't know where Rosenstein's actual, you know, sort of credibility is at this moment. It's been questioned because everyone's sort of talking about this without having seen it. I think that, you know, we all want to know that. Bob Mueller, all the findings that he has revealed, the indictments, et cetera, those come from real facts using real legitimate warrants and, you know, incontrovertible evidence. He is not going to stockpile a bunch of stuff from a dossier at the end of all of this. Right. And so, you know, all of those facts are real. And I think we've talked about this on the show before, what the red herring is Republicans like to jump over to one side and say, since there's no collusion, and there's absolutely no collusion, and we're convinced if there was collusion, it would have been leaked by now, we don't know that, then there can't be obstruction of justice because he wasn't obstructing a real crime, he didn't commit a real crime. If there are financial crimes, and Mueller has evidence of that, then that is what Trump has been trying to stop all along. And that is why it absolutely makes sense that he would be obstructing justice. So many Republicans on the Hill know this. They just don't say it publicly. They go on, you know, whatever local media, or they show up at their town halls, they get bombarded with a question. They say, we don't think there's any collusion. They couldn't collude their way down the street, that campaign. Ha, 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 ha. So they have been obstructed justice. But all of this is still in the back of the room discussion. And that's why you see the speaker trying to make this, you know, trying to discern between don't dump on Bob Mueller, but we really need to let Devin Nunes reveal all his findings.
On the subject of the speaker, though, AB, Paul Ryan, a lot of people had, you saw a significant pushback when he used the words cleanse the FBI. We need to cleanse the organization, seeming to throw the entire organization, federal law enforcement, under the bus. I know you haven't seen the memo, but yeah. did he go too far with those words? Is that sort of undermining the integrity?
I have been like ranting about this because I just think that this is outrageous that they use words like, and these Congressman Rooney, Congressman Gates of Florida, you know, different people, but calling that this is a deep state coup d'etat. This is a need for a purge. So the verb cleanse, I bet, is something that Speaker Ryan might want to take. I bet if you gave him truth serum tonight, he would want to take that back. He's trying to talk about disinfectant and like transparency, but that's sort of a bad word right now with the idea of everyone literally in the leadership and the top brass of both organizations being under threat of firing. Sessions, Ray, McCabe now gone, Rosenstein, Mueller, everybody is now under threat of being fired. And so the idea of him using that word, I think is again, I think he would probably regret it. And one more thing I want to mention about the memo is really important for your listeners to remember. The reason the Democrats are freaking out about the memo is that what they say is that it's not, it is deceptive in its omission. Because it doesn't include the underlying classified intelligence, it can go to conclusions that the people who haven't read the classified materials won't properly and entirely understand. I'm not an expert on that, and I haven't seen this four-page thing, but that's just something that we all need to take into consideration as we listen to this fierce debate and then ultimately read it when the president steps on his State of the Union message and releases it tomorrow.
Yeah. The problem with this is that they're going to try to, by going and defending Carter Page, it's going to be short-lived until Carter Page is actually indicted at the end of this thing. And that is a likelihood. And then all these guys will have been on record defending the guy who then eventually will plead guilty to something.
Yeah, I hope that you follow John Podoritz of Commentary on Twitter, and I do, and even though I'm on Twitter anonymously, I follow, you know, and he said yesterday, we're talking about people rushing the defense of Carter Page, people, Carter Page.
Right.
I mean, I don't know what's going to come out, but no one else has insinuated anything else. It's just that Rod Rosenstein has messed with Carter Page's civil liberties in doing something in extending the FISA application warrant.
They may have a reason. And again, it's complicated to get the FISA warrant because you got to go to a judge. There's three reviews. Mike Rogers, friend of the show, is on all the time, former head of the FBI, is a guy, no, not former head of the FBI, but a former major player of the FBI, and then a congressman overseeing the House Intelligence Committee. Here's a guy who said, listen, you can't just, and he's a Republican. He goes, this idea that they've somehow monkeyed with the FISA system and they've ripped away people's constitutional rights is laughable because you can't do it. There's too many layers of people you got to go through to get that done. It would be a massive conspiracy. There are no such things as massive conspiracies in Washington because there's always a leaker. So the reality.
Yeah, I was wondering if they had actually messed with that process in any way, how do we have not known it till now?
Well, listen, let's never play that game because that's what everybody is playing on Capitol Hill. To me, the big issue here is this. You've got Republicans who are getting over their skis, who are going to try to defend things right now because they're trying to get now an infrastructure package done as this thing is coming to a conclusion. And though it's like hot potato, the guy who's holding it last, who's holding the president's position last, is going to be the guy that's going to be really embarrassing and hard for these guys, even the rubiest of red congressional districts, to get reelected because things are going to, when things come out of this, there's a reason this is all going on. There's a reason. And you got to remember, it's prima facie that this all happened. The Russians did interfere. All right. I'm sorry.
Also, the reporting is real that the president and his top advisors do believe this is a really winning strategy to make the memo become so consuming in the news that people sort of get off the actual Mueller investigation.
Right.
You know, that it muddies.
I just see at the end of this whole thing a trial and people wearing headphones while they're being interpreted to. That's all I say.
That's what
at the end
is.
Of this kind of thing. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Thanks, AB. Have fun tonight.
Guys.
All right, AB Stoddard, Real Clear Politics in Washington. Judy, what's happening at the bottom of the hour news?
Saturday nights, Pat Tomasulo, WGN Morning News, gets his own comedy show. Check it out. Saturday nights in Chicago will never be the same. Man of the People, Saturday at 10, WGN TV.
Very entertaining half hour, I might say.
I've heard.
Yeah.
Good reviews.
Yes.
All
watched
around.
It this weekend. I thought it was particularly good.
It was the second episode this weekend.
Yeah, second
Saturday.
Episode.
Mm-hmm. Was Bozo on it?
Bozo. I did not see Bozo on it.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say I tuned in a little bit after it started, but saw a bunch of old ladies who are mall walkers.
Oh.
And they were having none of Pat Tomasulo.
They were not into it.
They were having none of him.
That's to be expected.
Yeah,
it's kind of cute. That's so, like the promo. They're like, well, he's okay,
right? Something like that. It was it was quite good. It's quite good.
He's funny.
All right, let us tell you that Judy's got the news coming at the bottom of the hour, and then how private industry may come in and save healthcare in America. Really interesting story developing right here, right today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's our friends over at Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and JP Morgan.
Pretty smart guys. So when they get together in a room and decide to do something with healthcare, I think a lot of people listen and say, what are they going to figure out?
All right, we'll find out what that's all about. But first, maybe your doctor arrives to you
mm-hmm.
in a box with an arrow on it, and you unpack your doctor, and then you have to print a label, put him back in the box,
uh-huh.
and then put the label on the box, and then take him over to the UPS.
Is shipping free? Return shipping?
Return shipping is free, yes, of your doctor.
I'm in.
Can you just order via the Echo?
And eventually a drone will deliver your doctor, and he'll parachute out of a drone.
I like it.
To your own home.
These are great plans.
All right.
We'll see if it lines up with what they've got planned.
There's a thing. All right. But we'll explain all of that after Judy's News in 2.
Oh, Susie Q.
That can mean only one thing. Susan Schmidt is with us. Susie Sunshine. She is our analyst of all things economic and financial here.
Mm-hmm. Love talking to her.
And now, you got to explain this to us because the way I read this morning is that you've got your doctor's going to be delivered in a box to your house, one day delivery. You're going to order them on Amazon, mm-hmm. and then you're going to open the box. He's going to do the things that he does, take all the tests, and then you pack him and the test back in the box, and you go to the UPS store.
Right, and you can return him.
Yes,
right.
You return him and for free delivery. Because Amazon, Berkshire Hathaway, and Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, are going to get together to try to solve the healthcare problem in America and maybe create a competing platform for healthcare. What do you make of this?
Well, I think it's a really interesting announcement. There are very little details out there as of now, but we did see that Berkshire Hathaway, Amazon, and JP Morgan. So we've got three powerhouse companies, obviously Warren Buffett at Berkshire Hathaway, Jeff Bezos at Amazon, who has done an amazing job at upsetting and disrupting a lot of things. And then Jamie Dimon, extremely well-respected leader of JP Morgan, all coming together saying that they're not satisfied with the system as it is, our healthcare system, and they want to do something different. So, you know, they say their aim is improving employee satisfaction and reducing healthcare costs. And between those three companies, you have about 1 million employees. So with 1 million employees, that's a lot of weight to be able to throw around and be able to go in and start competing potentially with larger plans and programs. You're big enough that people are going to notice you. And so the pharma companies, et cetera, are going to want to deal with you just like they do with the big insurers. So I think this is just the tip of the iceberg. We're going to hear a lot more about it. I think it's a really interesting thing that they're doing, and I think it's going to be a good outcome, because I think whatever happens, a little disruption is good. And so shaking up the system a little bit, let's see if this trio can fund it and get it together, and we've seen each of them be successful in different ways,
sure,
they can bring a lot to the table and help improve our system.
Well, I thought it was interesting that the rhetoric around this. Buffett said he called healthcare a hungry tapeworm on the American economy, but then the other part of this announcement included talk about how we're going to take profit-making out of healthcare. And I thought that was an interesting issue for them to attack. You wonder if other companies are going to look at this as a template, if potentially there could be an entire system that is built around this. How many people will be looking at this? Certainly the healthcare stocks today, some of them did poorly on this announcement because it seems, as you said, a big disruption.
Healthcare and insurance stocks under pressure today. This is a big disruption. No details, so no one has any idea exactly where the implications are. And whatever this is, remember, it took decades for Amazon to come into its own and be what it is today. This is a long, slow build-out process. So this isn't going to happen overnight. But I think what is interesting, Anna, and I think that statement about taking profit out of it was, we've heard Warren Buffett talk about, you know, a great example is when he bought Burlington Northern Railroad. He's investing in America. And I think this is another example, maybe along that same theme, where he's investing in America and he's working with these other two CEOs to develop a platform that can be competitive, can be viable. If they can make it work for their three companies, then presumably down the line, other companies are going to want to join on board. It's going to make the whole system shape up and get more efficient.
Well, is it possible that they're going to create their own new structure and new efficiencies from the ground up, that if you don't work for one of those three companies, you'll be able to, maybe your company will want to side with them, with
sure,
basically Amazon, exactly, Health.
Right. It's entirely possible. And there have been rumors already of Amazon having different forays into the healthcare space and trying different projects and initiatives. So this is something that, you know, potentially is building out a new system that might operate side by side with our current system in the U.S. and might prove to be a completely different platform. So, Ro, we could indeed see that. We could see down the line 10 years from now other companies joining in to that trio and saying, we think this is a better route to go for our employees. This is what we're doing.
Ro, this is going to be terrible for you.
I mean, you're
going to be like, Alexa, bring me a doctor now. I've got this thing that needs to be checked out immediately. Send them in the box. I'll return them, or whatever you're going to do. I mean,
well, the good thing is that, you know, he's Amazon Prime. Ro gets instant service.
Sure.
Right? So same day.
They're going to hate that. They're going to lose a ton of money on guys like Ro, and this whole thing will be a failure.
Right.
Really?
Siri, bring me a spleen. I do that already, and it doesn't seem to be working.
No. Fascinating.
It's interesting, though, you do have these three folks who, all three of them, by the way, have been in the crosshairs of Donald Trump. And I find that very interesting. You got Jamie Dimon.
Well, all three of them, yes, Ro, they have, all three of them have made statements about the general economy, the country, how the country is doing. They've stuck their nose a little bit outside of their own business.
Right. Sure. And they're very concerned about some of the things that the economy is roaring here. I mean, there's no other way to describe it than roaring. But it is also, the economy is also not in its aging. This growth spurt here is very long. And at some point you do have when you take a breath, you're taking all the air in, it's all good. You do have to let a little out to take more in. And it's a natural progress of economies. Things do not go up. I hate to tell the kids this because they don't seem to believe it, but these things do not go up forever. Just
right. Well, we saw that today in the market for the first time, where, you know, we haven't really seen a dip in the market since August.
Is there something that we should be looking for in terms of fundamentals here? Because that's, I know, what you guys do at your mm-hmm. business every day. You look for shifts in fundamentals. Is there something that we should be looking for that could be a harbinger of a correction?
Well, I think today, we're seeing the market react. Remember, we've got some important things coming up. We've got the State of the Union address coming up tonight. We've got the Fed Reserve meeting. This is Janet Yellen's last meeting that starts today and finishes tomorrow. We're expecting some sort of statement at the end of the meeting. And so the market, I think, is looking at this. And even with the corrections that we've seen and the downward movement that we've seen yesterday and today, the market year to date, this is a month, folks, just 1 month, is still up 5.5%. That's a huge number. And so I think people are, investors are looking at this and saying, you know what, I can take a little money off the table here. I don't have to be exposed. We've got a couple of big things happening. It's okay to step aside. I think they're looking at, you know, near-term fluctuations and what could sentiment, what could shift sentiment around. I think on the fundamentals and the underlying, look at what's happening in terms of manufacturing numbers, consumer confidence, and look to yourself. How confident do you feel about spending? Because at the end of the day, it's a confidence game. So if people feel good about the economy, they're interacting in the economy is going to do well. If they don't feel good about the economy and they pull themselves out and they don't want to do business, then the economy is going to falter.
It's interesting. You saw, though, like Goldman Sachs yesterday say that there is a probability here of some kind of, if not a correction, certainly a pullback of some sort. The interesting thing I saw today is that healthcare and technology were the ones leading the declines. And if you look at healthcare, we've discussed kind of why that was, this announcement from Buffett and the others. But technology, we're in the middle of earnings season still, or some of the biggies still need to report this week. Facebook, Google's Alphabet, and Microsoft, some of those. It seems as if everything has been very positive in terms of the trends affecting those companies. So what would, I mean, I know it's just a daily pullback, but where do you think things stand there?
I think this is just a sentiment issue, Anna, and I think it's more about what happened. Remember that technology stocks were some of the biggest performers last year, and so I think more of it is people taking a look at the market, looking at their overall exposures, and they invested a lot in technology. They got great gains out of that. It's okay to take some off the table and rebalance into an assortment of industries. And so I think we're seeing more of that.
Mm-hmm. I just think that we're going to see whatever we're going to see here, it's going to go up, it's going to go down. It's been going up, 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 up.
Sure.
There is going to be a correction here at some point, and I would, you know, advise people not to freak out when it happens, but there are going to be some people who freak out because the president has really overpromised this and taken all this credit, and it's going to go up and up and up and up, which is generally presidents don't comment on the markets. That has been a rule. But, you know, one of the very many that have either been sidelined or just completely ignored by Donald Trump. But that's where we stand here. So now we'll see what happens. To me, the most interesting thing is, as the U.S. government pulls out of certain places, as it is doing, the market will be jumping in. And healthcare is going to be one of these things. We haven't talked about what's really happening in healthcare now, that Obamacare has essentially hasn't been repealed and replaced, but it has been given a poison pill. And they've pulled back on the funding, on key funding pieces, obviously on the mandate, which means people don't have to actually take part in these markets. The markets are going to dry up. What is going to replace them? Are they going to actually have some piece of legislation, or are they going to let the healthcare system crumble, intentionally crumble, so that other companies can come in and bolster them up? And who will those companies be? That is a big issue. And this is not just for people who don't have health insurance, who need health insurance. It's a critical situation for them right now. It is also for people who have employee-driven health insurance, employee-given health insurance. And where are those, with those markets, because it all comes out of the same share of risk money of the reinsurance industry. And so this is a really big problem for everybody, because you're going to see, as much as we're going to be getting back starting February 1st in our checks, you're going to start seeing your healthcare numbers go up in terms of what you're going to have to contribute moving forward. And that's going to be something that people aren't, you know, they're not talking about that in Washington, because we're very busy talking about basically everything else that's critical right now. Red light. Whoop, 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 whoop.
Look over here.
Yeah. All right. It'll be interesting to see. But I do like the idea that these three guys are thinking about market solutions, and that will draw other people to come in. So
I think it's great. I think we're seeing some corporate leaders move forward and take hold of a big issue and try to put some work towards it. I think it's fabulous, and I think it'll be good for the industry.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Warren Buffett can do no wrong. All right. Thank you very much, Susan Schmidt, Susie Sunshine. She is the Senior Vice President and Senior Portfolio Manager of Westwood Holdings in Dallas. Thank you.
Thanks, Susan.
All right. We've got right now, Judy's going to tell us what's coming up at the top of the hour news. Yep, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720.
How about Time Magazine calling us the number one city in the world for the second time in a row?
Oh, I thought they were calling the show number one show in radio in the world.
We'll have to ask them about that, too. That was maybe
That's
left
our
out.
Next article.
Left off out of this particular
That
survey.
Factored into the whole thing, though.
That's what made it the number one city.
Yes. Quality of life, part of that.
Wow. We enhance the quality of life, people in Chicago.
Totally fake news.
No big deal.
No.
That is kind of a big deal.
Dining, neighborhoods, affordability, happiness, and sex.
Wow. All right.
Go us.
Exactly. All right. Judy Pilox News coming your way in 2 minutes. All this. We'll get your top five. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour at 5:40, we're going to play a little game of, which you're going to very much enjoy. It's the drinking game for tonight's State of the Union.
What will and won't be said? Are we going to do phrases or just words?
Don't ask too many details.
You don't really know.
I don't really have any idea.
Are we going to warm up and just start drinking on the show?
Yeah.
Any thoughts there?
That's what we're going to do. That's how we're going to do. That's how we do around here. And then I'm going through the trash looking for this other thing that I just threw out that was very important.
Some important notes.
That I needed to tell you about, which is...
Oh, there it is.
There we go.
No.
Coming up, Blackhawks pick 'em after 6 o'clock.
Yes! Oh, good.
Do we have to?
No.
Well, we don't have to do it. We're no longer doing Blackhawks pick 'em on the air.
Who made that brilliant decision?
There will be a caller.
And why not? I got a hat trick last time.
Who will be... Really? Were you on the ice?
It was very difficult.
We'll choose a caller after 6 o'clock who'll be playing Blackhawks Pick'em against the rest of us for a $50 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's. Not on the air. It's off the air now.
Excellent choice.
The air can't handle it.
No.
Or we can't handle it.
We can't handle the truth.
The rules and the reading of the rules. I think that's where it all breaks down.
Yeah. So that's all coming
downhill.
Your way. Now, if it's 5 o'clock.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Investigators in Hawaii say that one person was fired, one resigned, and a third has been suspended without pay for that fake ballistic missile warning a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, gee.
Brigadier General Bruce Oliveira, head of the internal investigation. You can't handle the truth! That guy.
Or a sunburn.
Said that the employee who sent the alert was confused and froze. You need that in the middle of a
right. That's the guy you want in that job.
Yeah,
the confusion frozen guy.
Oh,
prone to be confused.
Oh. And another employee took over, and that's where the problem began.
There was no response protocol in the event of a false ballistic missile message, even though the preparedness branch and identified the need to establish a response protocol.
Apparently, it doesn't make that much sense, but apparently they had said this is not a drill, trying to simulate that this is an actual event, but then they didn't hear the words afterwards that said exercise, exercise, exercise. So they started pressing the buttons.
The guy started doing push-ups instead. Hold on, I got this.
Yeah, jumping jacks.
Now, a week later, this happened in Japan.
I know.
And I'm a conspiracy guy when it comes to this, because I was talking to Creepy Uncle earlier. Today down the
beach. Oh, yeah. He gets it.
Sure, he had some thoughts
about
this.
And he explained to me that this whole thing is a conspiracy by Kim Jong-un.
That he's controlling the computers?
Mm-hmm.
I believe it.
Terror across around the world.
Do we have more of the general not making sense? Here we go.
Drills of this nature should be simulated if it's an exercise with a separate standalone computer, separate standalone message that comes out stating clearly that it is a drill.
Yeah.
But it was 38 minutes later. It took him that long.
No wonder there was
when everybody's
confusion.
iPhone was going off.
What did that guy just say?
I don't know. But that's sort of I'm going to go out and go surfing.
Do I make myself clear?
So don't anybody do nothing here, wiki.
I kind of understand how they made a mistake now with this guy. He was in charge. what did he say? Is it a drill?
Getting the message across there.
I want to say that this room is filled with mono, and you're all my ohana.
Aloha.
We are now going to have luau. And then there was fire. Then the general did some fire dancing.
He was wearing a Hawaiian shirt during the announcement.
Right. Well, that's being dressed up in Hawaii.
That's what they
I love that state. I don't want to make fun of it because I love it, and I think it's going to be my future. I'm going to lead a I'm going to move to Hawaii and lead a secessionist movement.
That'll be popular.
And the but the reality here is that this does not feel. I would not, if I were a Hawaiian citizen right now, I would not feel particularly
comforted by this message
by this general.
No, think
General
about
Hawaiian shirt here. I don't think it's going
to
help me.
Think of the people who were, you know, like texted their loved ones to say maybe goodbye.
Yeah.
And made, you know.
Well, we did talk to
put one of our children in safe places.
One of our top podcasts of the month was with Millie Ho, who was a 90-year-old woman in Honolulu who witnessed Pearl Harbor and remembers it.
Sure.
And where was she when all this happened? She and her a number of other older folks were driving on their way to an event. And they decided that they just pulled over and they're like, I don't think this is really happening because they just tested the system. The people who truly freaked out there were people who were not obviously tourists.
They were visiting all the golfers who were there for that event, the tournament there. They were talking about how they were huddling in the bathroom, in the bathtub, and
some of them just played on.
One of them just played on. He said, this is a good way to go down.
Mm-hmm. We get 36 and there's nobody on the course. This is beautiful.
Take your shirt off. You're going to get a really good tan at a moment like this. You don't want your shirt melting to you.
How scary that must have been. Jeez.
All right. Anyway, it turns out that
they've got it all figured out now.
Well, they should have been doing this on a system that wasn't connected to the real system, I think is what the general just tried to tell us.
Glad you're able to
understand that.
Right,
yeah, let's do that. Moving forward, General.
Yes, exactly. I will, but right now I've got to go out. Surf is up. I don't have time for this.
This is not a drill.
Oh.
So now that we all feel better?
Right now, I've got my ukulele and I'm going out surfing if anybody needs me. Don't call me. My cell phone doesn't work.
I think I need a blue Hawaiian right now.
Yeah.
Is that what they drink there?
That's what they call that guy, by the way. A blue Hawaiian. All right. Check it in at
number four.
Ahead of tonight's State of the Union address, the president attended a luncheon with several news anchors today, in which he spoke about his desire to end this country's political divisiveness.
Tremendous divisiveness. Not in the last year. There's been tremendous divisiveness for many years. I would consider it a great achievement if we could make our country united, if I could unite the country. That's not an easy thing to do because the views are so divergent.
And they say that will be one of the goals of the president's speech tonight in the State of the Union.
To unify the country?
Be a unifier.
Because he's doing a great job by calling people all kinds of names and then, you know, saying that the press is the enemy of the people and the Democrats are evil and all that. That's a good way to start the unification.
We'll see if he's successful tonight.
He said, short of I thought this was an off the record lunch. Why do we have tape of it?
I didn't know that there was tape until I just heard that.
Yeah. I'm not sure we were supposed to play that, but we did.
I think part of it was off the record. There was part that was on because some reporters were explaining the parts earlier that they were told they were able to go on the record.
Okay. So hopefully that was part of that. Yeah, the CBS released that. I don't want to break that because even I respect the on the record, off the record with the president. I think you got to do that. But unless off the record, I did the whole thing, colluded to leave Vladimir and I. We're going to take over the world. Don't tell anybody.
I think that would somehow come out anyway.
Yeah, that would be a problem. Hey, what's interesting tonight, and we're going to play this game coming up a little bit, there's a lot of expectation about what's going to actually happen tonight in his speech. He did say in this room that short of a major catastrophe, it's going to be hard to unify the country. He doesn't want that. Mm. But then I started to think to myself, uh-oh, if he's thinking like that, okay, I've got an idea. Everybody hates Chicago.
Don't say that. He is saying that the White House is saying that North Korea will be a prominent discussion point tonight that will be featured.
I wonder if he'll try to rally the country around North Korea, the North Korean threat. Maybe that'll be his mechanic for this. And that's going to be a little, you know, because what do you do about it?
They say he's going to make eye-opening remarks about North Korea tonight.
Which is very funny because my mouth is always open, my eyes are always closed. And in this case, I'm going to close my mouth and open my eyes.
We'll speak about the North Korean nuclear threat in a strong, serious way.
Very
that's
good.
Built
very
into
serious.
The speech.
Yeah, exactly. All right. We'll get to your 3, 2, and 1. But first, Judy tells us what's happening in the WGN newsroom at the bottom of the hour. All right.
Imagine if this team were in charge of the emergency alerts.
Well, it took
one day the Road Con
show.
I am going to go out and go surfing. And you people and the rest of our Ohana all get together and you will all sort of enjoy
Wait,
yourself.
Where are the cocktails?
I'll take a Mai Tai.
Where's Ro?
I am playing my ukulele and burying a pig in the dirt.
Under a hot
with hot
of
coals.
Coal.
Yeah. Hot coals in the belly of the pig.
So
we'll
good.
Eat in 12 hours.
Kevin's in.
Telling you, man.
Wait, weren't
Hawaii.
We supposed to do something important?
We'll see you guys in 12 hours for the pig.
Well, no, during the 12 hours, you know, it was funny because you party during those 12 hours. And by the time the pig, you pull the pig out of the ground and then you debone it and do the whole thing. You're so drunk, you fall into the ground and then you're cooked and then you're served the next day.
Dude, bury me where the pig was.
Checking in at
number 3.
It seems that Piers Morgan has serious issues with the fact that he can see Kim Kardashian's bust. After his interview with President Trump, Morgan got wind of a new wave of nudie photos put out by the mother of three, and he was none too pleased about it. Wait, Kim Kardashian put nudie pictures out?
She did. Well, yeah.
We've seen everything.
How come I wasn't aware of this?
Kardashian.
It's on her Instagram.
She's in a porno.
Well, yeah, that's how she got famous. But her parts are blurred out a little bit.
It doesn't like leave pasties, a lot to the imagination, like
on the Insta?
Very,
yeah, on the Insta.
So she wants to show off her post-surrogate baby body.
Check out my baby bod.
My baby was just born a few weeks ago, and look at my body now. But it was a surrogate. I don't care.
I was stressed.
Anyway, Piers Morgan is upset.
If you would just become a mother, for example, what would be the first thing? You're only mid to late 30s. It's your third child. I know what I'll do. I'll put a big topless picture of myself all over social media. There she is.
Oh, we've completely covered it up.
Yeah, we've covered it up because she just basically got him out. And it's like, hey, look at me. Hey, me too. Time's up. Time should be up for Miss Kardashian. I'm not sure she adds to the movement, really. Anything moving are her breasts.
You know, I don't disagree with him, but I still can't stand that guy. I mean, favor of Kim Kardashian because he's opposed to her.
I looked it up, you know, for show research, guys, and she's pretty much fully naked in this Instagram picture.
Yeah. The thing is, though, just because she's a mother doesn't mean she, like, I don't understand that argument. There's plenty of fathers that probably do stuff after having three kids that they shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The mother argument doesn't make sense at all. I mean, he's lashed out at her before, though. The last time when she posted pictures, he said, I know your husband's $50 million in debt, but do you need me to buy you clothes? I mean, it's gotten kind of ugly between these two.
Why does he care?
Exactly.
He sounds jealous.
Yeah, he's jelly.
He got a no.
He's Piers Morgan. He replaced Larry King for no good reason.
He hears Noah a lot. You're right.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number two.
To me, those balls are perfect.
Sing it, Tommy.
I can only speak for myself. I don't want anyone touching the balls, rubbing the balls. To me, those balls are perfect.
Tom Brady spoke at the Super Bowl media day ahead of his Super Bowl Lee matchup.
Yeah, Lee.
Lee.
Lee. The L. 52.
You know what? They could
like
just move to the numbers now, Roger Goodell.
I think so. That would be a good change.
It stopped being cool when they ran out of X's.
Yeah, it's totally true. Totally true. When they had to do it, when it was, and now it's like it's L, and that's not a good one.
Right, well, 50 was L, and they couldn't like put it on hats or anything because no one wanted to walk around with a big L on their forehead.
Yeah.
It just doesn't work.
So let's just go with 52. Anyway.
Do they make the hats and things like that with the L on it? Is that part of the Super Bowl memorabilia?
Oh, yes, yeah. With the
big L?
With the numbers on it. Yeah. Huh. With the L-I-I. It'll be the deal.
Okay. Yeah, it really doesn't work.
The Bears were in 41, right?
Of
course. Famously, they won. that was the one that was XX. That was cool on the hat. I still have one of those hats. But I also have the Bears Super Bowl hat from Super Bowl Lixi, which I think wasn't LXI?
Yes.
LXI.
XLI.
XLI. Yeah. Right.
That one was pretty cool.
Yeah, XLI.
Exley.
Exley, right. It would be 61 or 40. Anyway, see, this is the problem. This is the problem. We don't need the letters anymore. Here's what Brady said about his younger teammates taking his advice.
We've been on this journey together, and I think we get a lot of coaching from not only the veteran players but our coaches, and just getting everybody in the right mindset is so important. We've all got to be on the same page. So I try to do my best to communicate what I think is appropriate at the right time. I think that's part of being a leader on the team, and obviously having a lot of experience as a veteran, I feel like I can give some people advice that has some credibility.
I'm so sick and tired of this guy who is tall and great looking and successful and can't lose
and about to win a sixth Super Bowl championship, and
he's got a beautiful wife.
Yeah,
and he's like a leader and he says everything exactly right.
That's the thing why I don't understand people hate him, because off the field and on, he seems to be a good statesman, right? A good citizen and ambassador for the NFL. So you would think Roger Goodell would love him, but you know,
and he crushed his own phones though.
And he's still walking around with a glove on his right hand. did you see that at the media day? The whole time he had two gloves on, protecting that cut on his hand.
No, he's just feeding.
I think he's kind of messing with everybody at this point.
He did have the right thing to say, though, about the radio host that made the bad comment about his daughter. He took the high road and said, I hope he doesn't get fired over that. That's not what he would want, even though that was pretty
find
horrible
out
thing.
If I can find
you know what good right now. God. Poor Tom Brady, he's a class guy. You can watch him this Sunday on Super Bowl LI. Coming up at 5:20.
Yeah, he's even supporting that guy. That guy.
Super Bowl Lee.
Which, by the way, was the name of the guy from Hawaii that we were playing earlier.
my name is Super Bowl Lee. And we did the wrong thing with the missile launch.
All right,
everyone
finally.
Makes mistakes.
Number one.
During his monologue last night, Stephen Colbert joked about an interview which Donald Trump denied global warming and said the polar ice caps are doing great.
First of all, climate change is a term made up by lobbyists to make global warming sound less bad. Second, it's not getting too cold all over the place. Last year was, again, one of the hottest on record. The ice caps are not only setting records for most least ice cap, but now because he's president, the ice caps are suddenly growing again. Yes, under me, everything white is doing great.
Watch Jimmy Kimmel tonight if you want to see the Stormy Daniels.
Oh, I do want to see Stormy. But she's not going to say anything because she took the money. Although someone would pay her $1 million to turn around and go, listen, let me just tell you something. And you know what? His hands do matter. All right.
People will be watching.
Yeah. Okay. Can we? Do you mind?
Let's just...
The top five at five.
We'll be right back.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, yes. Right here on 720 WGN. It's time to step up to the challenge.
Okay. Which challenge?
The challenge. Join WGN Radio on the fight to end lung disease. Chicago's biggest stair climb. It's the American Lung Association's Fight for Air climb on Sunday, March 11th at Presidential Towers in the West Loop.
I always go and cheer everybody on.
Now, where do you stand? Like next to a fire extinguisher?
No, I stand on the bottom floor, and then you can get up to the where they change over. You've done this before, haven't you, Kev, when you go to the elevators?
Yeah.
And swap over.
Yeah, and this year you're going to do it with us, right?
Nope. I'm going to cheer everybody on this year again. I did the Hancock climb, and it is not easy.
No.
Like, I seriously trained for that, but it's wonderful so many people do it, and great cause raising money for it.
I've done it the past 2 years. It's definitely... It's like a mental test as well as a physical one because, you know, you're on the second tower and you're just thinking, oh, my God, I can't believe I have, you know, 2.5 more towers left. But the feeling you get when you're done, you'll be proud of yourself. It feels pretty great knowing that you did that and did it with the team. You know,
if I did this, now you get to climb all four towers.
You don't have to. You can do 1, 2, 3, or 4 towers.
Okay, well, even like the first one, when I'm dead on the 15th floor of the tower,
I'll carry your body,
and I'm just lying there, and people are trying to get around me. I mean, how good could I possibly feel?
If you're dead, I'm not exactly sure what you'll feel, but I believe in you, Ro. I think you can do this.
Yeah, I don't think I can. Just
make a donation. And maybe
just donate.
Go and cheer people on. But, you're good at that.
It's fun, and we normally go to a bar after, so you know if anybody's around, just follow us. We'll lead you to the alcohol, get a Bloody Mary. But it's great. I love doing it every year, and now the whole WGN team has been training. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but every time I go out in the hall around 5 o'clock from the newsroom, everyone's kind of done with their workday, and they're just like doing push-ups and running up and down the Tribune Tower stairs.
They're so fabulously fit. It's
but, you know,
crazy.
You have to train for that.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Do, right?
You can't just go into that thinking.
I did the Avon walk once, and I thought I trained. Oh, God, no.
How long was the Avon walk?
It was 2 days.
Oh, that thing. Oh, right.
Two days,
right.
One day, right. Like 2 day. And the first day, I don't know, it was like, say, 30 miles or maybe 25. Whatever it was. And you know, the bad part was we walked around Chicago, and I'm from Chicago, so I knew exactly where we were.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I knew how far away where we were and where we had to go. And literally, I was crying when I walked into that wonderful village at night.
But the feeling after, right?
It was awesome. It was one of the best things I've ever done.
Yeah, I tried training for that stair thing.
We're talking about, by the way.
No, I know.
Thanks for rejoining us.
But I did two floors, and I'm like, that's got to be 7 floors, right?
Because I like this, that stair thing. This is a WGN sponsored event. That stair thing?
It's raising
anybody
money.
Heard of that?
Yeah. Who are those guys who skate around on the ice? What's the name of that thing?
It's cardio, it's strength, so build some muscle over the next couple of months here. But it's totally a mental game because midway through, your body is just numb. You just got to keep trucking.
Register now to join Kevin to help with a pledge of support for the WGN radio team. 89 cents of every dollar raised goes directly to education, research, and advocacy. Research is very important here, obviously, for lung diseases. So register or pledge at WGNradio.com/events or fightforairclimb.org.
We're team Ennett to win it. You get it? Ennett to win it.
I love that.
Mr. Cat kind of leads the way.
Yeah. Elgato.
Yeah. He's a machine.
He is.
Mr. Cat. He is a machine. He's
incredibly fit.
I don't know how old he is, but he's like Marian Hossa. He's our own Marian Hossa. Because I've been listening to Dave Ennett my entire,
adult life?
My professional career for sure, which would, put him around my age. But I know that, but I think when I was in high school, I was listening to Dave Ennett.
No, he's incredible.
Isn't he on Sports Phone? Didn't he start on Sports Phone?
No, I think no. He said he didn't do it, but he's filled me in on Sports Phone and told me about all the radio sports guys in town that have done it.
Yeah, pretty much everybody had. But I know, Dave Ennett's name has been around forever and ever and ever and ever. So he's said, and somehow he's he does one finger push ups,
right?
And he's it's an odd thing, but he's sometimes you see him come up into the offices when he's after the morning show and we're up there and he's he's got those workout shirts on that show all of your musculature underneath it, and you're This he's like ripped.
Yeah.
And he has
yeah.
really nice skin. Like, he just looks so healthy.
Yes.
And he's a nice guy. What the hell?
He eats kale. Everything. That's why he eats that's kale.
I'm done with him, too, by the way. I'm done with Tom Brady and Dave Bennett.
Steve Cochran gives him a hard time for the kale thing, but whatever he's eating, it is working. So we should all take a page out of Dave Bennett's playbook.
Kale smoothies, folks, and $150 ripoff pajamas from Tom Brady. You got
there
yourself
you
a recipe for success.
So then you're young.
Speaking of betting, tonight there is a drinking game associated with the State of the Union.
Okay.
Okay, I'm listening.
Let's go.
Class of getting drunk on a Tuesday.
Oh, this one is designed for alcohol poisoning, actually.
Oh, God.
You can take a drink anytime Trump strikes his goofy thumbs up pose, mentions his electoral college win, or the size of his crowd.
The ratings tonight are huge.
All right, right now, that's three shots right there.
I don't think he's going to mention the crowd, do you?
Spreads his arm out. He mentioned the crowd in Davos.
Mm-hmm.
Where he was like, do you notice this is the largest crowd they've ever had in Davos? No, it isn't.
And the fake news won't report it.
No, they turn their cameras off. Look back. I would love for him to do this, that stupid shtick that he does where the cameras are being turned off when he says something bad. Fake news. Look, they're turning the cameras off. Look, everybody. And then some congressmen are turning around. Yeah, look. And Eric Trump. What, Dad? What?
It will be interesting to see if he references the news media in any fashion.
Oh, look, the cameras are turned. Oh, look. The cameras are turned. Wow. Oh, that's great. Oh, they just turned off their camera. So funny. They just turned off their camera. I love it. I love it. Now these dishonest people.
So how do we have that if they've turned everything off? I think that might be the question.
Survived. Mm-hmm. But he met with all the news anchors today, and his whole pledge was unity and unifying the country. And I don't think if you start lashing out at the news media during the speech that's
he will.
Symbolic of that.
Also take a drink if he says some variation of people are saying or more and more.
More and more.
More and more. Oh. He always does that. And more and more. There is, if he spreads his arms out real wide.
Oh, that's a guaranteed.
What do you have to lose, black people?
He will mention black unemployment, but will he mention Jay-Z specifically by name?
Mr. Z,
maybe you should learn. You and Bay. By the way, see, that's that story where he was always trying to like sleep with his friends' wives or like get them to turn on their husbands. Well, that'd be an easy one with Beyonce and Jay-Z, wouldn't it? Hold on, Beyonce, come in the room. Listen to this. Hey, Jay, how you doing? How are the hoes?
99 problems.
Big pimpin'.
I've got 98 problems, and actually, women are two of them.
Hispanic unemployment is the lowest ever recorded. Any Hispanics here? Any Hispanic? Any Hispanics? You guys were great.
Black unemployment is the best it's ever been in recorded history. It's been fantastic, and it's the best number we've had with respect to black unemployment. We've never seen anything even close, so we're very honored by that.
But if you almost
can't believe it unless you hear it.
Right, because first of all, it would be black employment, not unemployment, right?
I hope it doesn't call any Hispanics out tonight, because there are going to be a lot in the audience.
Sure.
Black unemployment is great. We want more black unemployment. It'd be very important. I mean, come on. You know what? You know what this calls for coming up after? We're going to do a drunk Trump moment. This is what I would like to see at the State of the Union. Him tell the story of the Levittown guy like he did to the Boy Scouts last year.
Oh, no.
Now, that would be something. By the way, let me just finish this.
The drinking game.
He says, if at any point, take two drinks, if he says, I promise you, or he insults somebody, botches his delivery, or there's a standing ovation. There'll be plenty of standing ovations tonight. Believe me.
And believe me, her and Bill had a bad evening. Believe me.
He still didn't believe me, but believe me, it is, okay?
Believe me, folks. Believe me.
The only time you want someone to say believe me and believe them, right? You never, when they say believe me, this immediately go, all right, I don't believe you. Why
after
are you saying that?
After what follows those words, usually you're suspect.
Only when your doctor says you're not going to die from this, believe me. That's when you go, okay, all right.
You embrace it.
Yes.
Believe me, you can trust me. You can't trust that person.
That's true.
Trust me on this. No, why would we?
No, I'm good.
All right. Violetta, why don't you tell us, before we get to Violetta, let's get actually to Judy. And then on the other side, we will play a little of Drunk Trump at the Boy Scouts rally and just pray that we get some of this tonight in the State of the Union. But first, Judy, what's happening at the top of the hour? So what if tonight during the State of the Union, the president decides, hey, you know what? I'm kind of tired of this speech. Do you people know who the Levittown guy is? William Levitt. Started Levittown. Have you heard this one?
So he had a very, very interesting life. And the company that bought his company was a big conglomerate. And after about a 10-year period, they were losing a lot with it. It didn't mean anything to them. And they couldn't sell it. So they called William Levitt up. And they said, would you like to buy back your company? And he said, yes.
This was to the Boy Scouts, right?
Yes, this is to the Boy Scouts of America, yes.
Totally off prompter and script there.
Right. They say he's going to stick to the prompter. Do you have the part where he's talking about the wives? Do you have the the boat?
Oh, yeah. The yacht.
How big his boat was? I got a big boat. You got a big boat. Small hands, big boat. I mean, big hand, small boat. Big hand, big boat. That's what it meant. Everything's big, it's huge.
I can't remember. Did he ever bring it around again to why he told the story?
No.
It was just the wealthy billionaire guy.
He just wanted to let the kids know.
That was a good role model for them,
I think. Yes, exactly. You kids want to all grow up to be guys married three times and bought and sold his company three times. But then he died unhappy. Remember, that was like the end of the story. He was like very unhappy and lonely.
Surprise ending.
Yeah, that's what it was. All right, we've got the news coming your way in 2 minutes. Right now, color 19, as I call it, 312-981-7200, rips us off, well, actually takes part in Blackhawks Pick'em, as they compete for a $50 gift certificate to Lou Malnati's. Or do they just get a Lou Malnati's gift certificate?
They kind of do, because the listeners always win.
I was going to say, either way.
And we're so bad at it.
Yeah. They win every week, or every game.
Because it says here, we just give it to them. That's but then, if we're just giving it to him, why do we have to take part in Blackhawks Pick'em?
Because it's fun.
It's really nice.
There's no part really of not. That sentence that's true.
I like it. And there's like so many new players on the lineup now. I'm like, cool.
So you'd say you have added more of an interest in Hawks games now?
Yeah, because it's some. Yeah, I know. I always had an interest. I'm just saying.
Uh-huh. All right.
Don't ask me questions.
Anyway, by the way, speaking of Lou Malnati's, best deep dish pizza in Chicago, find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations or order online at loumalnati's.com. They're my go-to.
I do love Lou's. Lou Malnati's.
Had some on Sunday. Deep and thin.
They'll be busy delicious. On Sunday, this Sunday, for sure.
Yeah. It's their Super Bowl.
Wait,
it is the Super Bowl. Hold
on. Is their big game day.
Yeah, that's it. It's so funny, cause for every time people have said, hey, it's their Super Bowl,
right.
this really
is their Super
Everybody's
Bowl.
Everybody's
for pizza manufacturers and bars and restaurants and the actual teams themselves. And our own Adam Hogue is up in Minneapolis, where the least likely of your Super Bowl cities, but they have a new stadium with concourses that are too thin. That's one of the problems up there. But they're going to host the Super Bowl coming up on Sunday. And it's been sort of a little bit of a change in how they do the media day here. It was kind of media night last night. And they've got all the people going out. Is Gronk alive and taking nourishment? What's going on with him?
So far, he's been missing in action. I mean, we haven't seen him. They haven't made him available to the media. But, I mean, I think everyone assumes he's going to play Sunday.
Yeah. So. What about the gloves Tom Brady was wearing indoors during media night?
Yeah, so this has turned it from a kind of a ridiculous thing to an extremely ridiculous thing because he's milking it. But I actually think he's just messing with everyone at this point.
Glovegate.
Yeah. But here's the other thing I think we found out
today. Let's explain why he's doing this.
Sure. So a couple weeks ago in practice before the AFC Championship game, he suffered a cut on his hand, the top of his hand, that required stitches. It's been reported how many, anywhere between 4 and 12. People differ, but it wasn't
that
bad.
But it looked ugly, though, I thought, when they showed the close-ups.
It's the only thing Tom Brady has ever had that's been described as true. Is looking ugly.
Very true.
Good point. But so he's still wearing gloves to kind of just keep people guessing on this, but I think this week, and we learned today, that the gloves that were made for him are from Under Armour, and so now he's using it as an opportunity to get some marketing out of it, too.
We see what's going on there.
Not obvious. Just to confirm, the Bears are not in the Super Bowl, but Adam, you did
close. I need to know these things.
Not really.
Matt Nagy, I know you talked to a couple people about the new Bears head coach, in particular John DeFilippo, who's with the Eagles. He was a candidate for the Bears. Knows Nagy. What have you heard about the new Bears head coach?
Well, first of all, Kevin, there is a one Bears player here at the Super Bowl.
Is he lost?
I was in the Macy's here at the Mall of America earlier today because I forgot my undershirts. So the convenient thing about that is we're in a mall, so I can buy them. But there was a mannequin dressed up in a Bears jersey inside the department store.
Oh, that's
so
great.
What
jersey was the mannequin
Kyle
wearing?
Fuller.
Oh, wow.
Who is probably the next Bear to not be a Bear soon.
Oh, no.
You don't think they're going to re-sign him?
They might have to franchise tag him. It's going to be an interesting situation with, but just another draft pick that can they keep him? I mean, this is becoming a bigger story, but we got plenty of time to talk about that over the next few months.
Sure.
To get back to what you asked me about, though, Kevin, a lot of people talking about Matt Nagy here, we're sort of in the center of the NFL world here. So if you're talking to media members, it seems like no one knows who he is. If you're talking to people in the, you know, coaches, people who are actually in the NFL, they love the guy. Nothing but good things to say. Now, Doug
I got to stop you right there. Because they said the exact same, Jim Trestman,
Mark Trestman?
Yeah, him. Jim is his cousin. Jim, they love Jim.
Jim was actually a better football player.
Jim was their accountant, and they loved him. Mark Trestman, see how quickly we forget? Yeah. I remember that Mark Trestman was so popular amongst football executives when he came to the Bears. And everybody's like, oh, this guy's a genius. He's an offensive guy. You know, he only went up to Canada because he was, you know, he owned that league up there for the couple seasons that he was with the Alouettes, and they came back down here. And you're like, and he was just a complete mess. I want a guy who, and again, we don't know. We just have to wait. We have to be optimistic. We have to realize there is a core of talent on this team, and they do have their franchise quarterback as long as he shall remain healthy, and they've got great running backs. They have zero wide receivers. They're developing an offensive line. There's still some work to be done there. That's a big way to keep the quarterback alive. Defense is okay, but Kyle Fuller, big piece of that, right? Defensive secondary, actually very impressive last year, and they had a bit of a shutdown year. You know, they were losing those games. They lost a lot of games, but they were losing them by fewer points than they normally would.
Yeah, and to get back to what you're saying about Nagy, completely fair point. I mean, because the bottom line is no one really knows. Ryan Pace doesn't know. Matt Nagy doesn't know because Matt Nagy's never been a head coach. So no one really knows if he can do it at the NFL level. I will say, here's a couple differences. One is Mark Trestman still had a track record of every 2 or 3 years needing to find a new job. And maybe we should have looked at that a little harder as a giant red flag. Matt Nagy has been with Andy Reid his entire coaching career. And that's something that I think matters. And when everyone talked about Mark Trestman, they talked about his offensive mind. Now, people are saying that about Matt Nagy. But the one thing that is standing out to me, and Kevin, you brought up how I talked to John DeFilippo, who's the Eagles quarterbacks coach, and apparently knows Matt Nagy. I did not know that until I was talking to John last night. But he offered this all up on his own without me even asking because I didn't know that connection. And he said that he is going to be great with Mitch Trubisky and really the whole locker room because of his ability to relate with players and understand what is necessary in the locker room, which going back to Mark Trestman was his obvious downfall. He could coach offense. He couldn't coach an entire football team. And that's what I'm impressed with so far with all the comments that I've gotten from people who know and have worked with Matt Nagy.
What was the wackiest thing from Media Night? Because Media Night and Media Day, you get the weirdest questions. Like, what's your favorite snack? Where do you like to vacation in the offseason?
Who's your man crush? I heard they asked Tom Brady. I was like, what? They asked those questions?
I got to meet J.B. Smoove.
Oh, I love him from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Curb. Yeah. So that was cool. I'd say the thing that I got the biggest kick out of was Alshon Jeffrey thought that Jeff Joniak, the voice of the Bears, was Lou Kanellis. and called him Lou over and over and over again. So that, you know, that amused me.
That's funny. That is funny because I could see that happening.
You sort of can.
It's sort of a
guys
little,
of a similar stature, have yeah. a similar kind of Chicago
are you,
accent.
You're saying they're all short?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. And
I love them both.
And Joniak has that kind of intense. Lou's an intense guy, but Lou's like a fun, intense guy. Joniak's just pure intense.
Yeah, I'm intimidated by him.
Yeah, Joniak looks like he's going to walk through a wall, right? Like, get out of my way, wall!
Yeah, he like gets in the same game mode that actual football players get into right before game.
Wide-eyed.
He's a scary little man.
Yeah. He takes mental steroids of some sort. I'm not sure what they are.
Sniffing salt before
games.
Yes,
he does. It's like he's got like he does the ammonia shot, and he's like, all right, I'm ready.
And Tom Thayer whacks him across the head a few times right before the
headbutt each other.
It is great, though. I mean, it was funny because, you know, I listen sometimes to the home and away broadcast for other games.
Yeah.
On the satellite, and there are very few play-by-play guys in the NFL. I'm shocked, as a matter of fact, at how bad the radio teams are for some of these major franchises.
Interesting, yeah.
It is just, it's ridiculous how bad some of them are. And these guys, you know, they're the best. Joniak is great. Thayer is great. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are just, they're great at what they do. We're lucky, you know, as Bears fans, we're lucky to have those guys. And, you know, and I go back to, you know, Wayne Larrivee, who, to me, was one of the great.
The dagger.
Love Wayne.
One of the great explainers of the field. Because it's hard. It's not an easy thing to do. And when he left and Joniak, you know, took over, you know, there was like this thought, like, well, is he really going to be able to do it? But he is really great. Now, Lou, on the other hand, since we're talking about this, if you've ever heard Lou do basketball, he does basketball for ESPN 18.
Never heard him, huh?
He's
18.
Yeah.
The Ocho, the sub channel for the Ocho.
Yes. He did college basketball for years and years and years. He's great at it.
Huh.
He's a great play-by-play guy.
Know that.
Little known things, because you'd have to be watching Middle Tennessee State taking on, you know,
Southeastern Tennessee State,
St. Moritz, and you're like, who the hell are they? They are not NCAA eligible, but it's like, but when he gets those kinds of games, you know, every once in a while you'll be turning on the Ocho, and there he'll be.
I'm gonna watch just for that. Yeah. I liked how they asked Belichick if he had seen the Tom Brady documentary, and he goes, no, I don't have snap face. That was my favorite line from Media Night. Because
that's another. Belichick's got some pre-planned.
You think so?
That was pre-planned. I think that's calculated. I think he said that before. You know, he acts dumb sometimes with stuff like that. I think he.
I didn't have to act. Right. Hey, by the way, is he there looking for a job? Hanging out resumes,
soliciting, just handing out flyers.
Something tells me he's on his boat in Florida.
Where isn't Radio Row like in the food court of Mall of America, Adam? I've heard.
Absolutely.
I've seen So is
are you
that,
guys
is,
hungry?
Is that awesome or terrible with all the smells and people just like raiding the food court there?
Well, you know how radio people consume coffee. Yeah. There's a Starbucks literally 20 feet from me right
that's
now.
That's
nice.
Consistent
nice.
Line there with that's all the... Adam, we heard your Sports Central debut. Plug away, I guess. 1-2, WGNRadio.com.
Well, hey, speaking of play-by-play people, you guys familiar with Paul Allen?
Sure.
He's the Vikings play-by-play K-fan. Guy. And he's sort of like if Ron Santo had done play-by-play because he is like... He's the Ron Santo fan, but he puts that much passion into his calls, but he's also really, really good at doing play-by-play. Anyway, he's up here in mourning because the Vikings lost to the Eagles. Yeah. It's actually very painful for these guys that have to now host.
Not even close, though. I mean, it wasn't even – that was the thing.
Blowout.
Now, this is an interesting – and we'll talk about this as the week moves on here, but it's very interesting because right now it's 4.5 points.
Yep,
for all my bettors out there,
which is dropping two points already in like the span of a week.
I still think it's too much. It's too little for the Eagles to just be getting 4.5 points.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting because that's where the betting is moving. The Eagles are they're kind of a surprising team, and even though it's Nick Foles. I would say if it were Carson Wentz.
Different story.
I would say 4.5 would be the appropriate number. But look, Nick Foles played very, very well.
That Philly pass rush, though, Adam, they're ruthless. And that's how you beat Tom Brady. Get to him with four defensive linemen.
Exactly. And guys, I saw the Eagles up close against the Bears. They were really, really, really good.
It's
now, they had Carson.
Bunch.
They had Carson Wentz that day, and I thought that that would change things. But if Nick Foles plays like he did against the Vikings. They have a chance. I could see the Eagles winning this game.
So all
right. Well, we can talk about that later in the week.
Sure enough.
Get your head coaches here!
Anyway.
Head coaches here!
Sports Central, Adam?
Yeah, Paul Allen was on Sports Central today. So was Orlando Pace. You can listen to the podcast. It's on iTunes, Google Play, and we're going to be live on WGNRadio.com all week from 1 to 2 p.m. from Radio Row, having a lot of fun.
By the way, that was my nickname for years and years.
Radio Row?
Yep. All right, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. All
Thanks, right, there Sam. He goes. Right now, we've got Violetta with the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.
There's Chicago. They're real. Watch Dan Ponce, Lauren Jiggets, Larry Potash, and Robin Baumgarten get real in the mornings with the WGN-TV Morning News Team, weekdays 4 to 10.
Get your eyes cold. Head coach is here.
I wonder if Coach Fox is going to the Super Bowl.
No, I think he's done.
Some time.
I think, you know, Coach Fox has had a pretty amazing, as much fun as I make fun of him and his monkey, he had a pretty amazing NFL career.
Sure,
it
he did.
Ended in, infamy here in Chicago.
Couldn't do it here.
No.
But.
And it's a tough giving. It's really, I think, in a lot of ways, a young man's game if you're have a team, unlike. You know, unless you've built a dynasty like Belichick has, much as I hate that guy.
Hard to move around and find success everywhere you go, but he's a very successful career.
Hey, tomorrow, Anthony Scaramucci on the show to tell us what happened at the State of the Union. Not making that up. He's really going to be here. Chicago Blackhawks hockey coming your way in 2 minutes.